Good news. We're back with another episode of the Azure Enablement Show in the Well-Architected series. And this time we're following up on our previous conversation with Tanuja, in which we were talking about cost optimization on Azure. And I think you're really going to enjoy where we take it. Speak to you soon. Welcome to the Azure Enablement Show, where we'll be discussing the challenges you and our other tech-savvy customers have encountered. Together, we'll be talking with experts to find out how they think about these problems, recommended tools and best practices, and tips they've learned from years of experience that you can use. So today, we're going to be following up on our previous session where we were diving deeper into Azure cost optimization. And to do that, I have to go back to being in customer mode, where I'm being a customer in this discussion. Hey, so we're back. Tanuja, thank you for being willing to continue to talk to me. Last place we left off, we were looking at this cool tool, but the tool had some requirements, and I am not clear that I'm going to have those requirements. So you had mentioned that there was another way to go about to get the same data so that I could have these sort of conversations in my environment about cost optimization that I need. Can you say a little bit more about that?
As we talked about it in the last discussion, that a lot of our customers are government customers, and some have financial regulations for not being able to share the data out or run the tool in the environment that they have. What we have is direct API calls. So if you can't run this app, or there is a restriction to downloading the app, or what have you, what you can do is, let me share my screen and show you. There is a direct API calls that you can run from your desktop command line, and it will do the query on your behalf. So as you are seeing on my screen right now, these are the queries or API calls that are built in for you that you can use in lieu of being able to run the app. I will stick with the reserve instances example because we've been talking consistently about it. So if I can't run the Power BI app, then I can call on these APIs to do that job for me. So let's take a look at this particular reserve instance recommendation RI for shared recommendations. So to do that, let me bring you to the actual command line. So here is your GET request that you will send to the billing API. So in other words, you basically copy that, and from your console, you can run this and it will generate the similar results that I shared with you in our Power BI app reports. So once you run this command, once you make this API call, here's what it's going to produce. The response is going to be in a JSON format. And if you drill down into it, my query was for last 7 days. I can have it up to 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days if I wanted to. But in this instance, here's the 7 days of recommendations for RI, reserve instances. I have the meter ID for which workload is it recommending the reserve instances. Then it tells me what's queue within this meter category. It's finding this recommendation for. It also tells me the term. Is it a 3-year instance or reserve instance, or is it 1 year? And out of what region? And the best part, David, is this right here. Cost that you're paying as on demand, $186 and some change. And if you use the recommended SKU with the recommended term, here's your save. Here's your what you'll be paying, 143. So 186 to 143, which is your net saving of 43. Now this is for last 7 days for one SKU. So you can only imagine if you did that across all your subscription, you know, you could be saving yourself a bundle here.
Yeah, and I'm also digging how easy that actually looks like as things. It's just making that simple get call and to get the information back. So I'm certain I could do that. So yeah. So I want to, one of the things I've been thinking about since we last talked is you had mentioned that there's sort of two approaches to cost optimization. There was sort of the short-term approach, and we talked a bunch about that, but you mentioned something about sort of a long-term, more strategic view. And I was wondering if we could finish up this discussion by aiming some, you know, talking a little bit more about that stuff.
Absolutely, David. And this is one of the biggest, you know, common concern that we see across the field when we go and see and help our customers. They are in a situation where, you know, they really want to take care of the immediate need of saving costs as quickly as they can. And that's where we talked about the tactical approach, you know, reducing the waste and all that. Now it's time. Now you've already taken care of all the, you know, recommendations that we spoke about, but now it is really the crunch time. How do we keep this cost from going back up where it was? And to do that, you really need to talk about a sustainable approach, a long-term strategic approach. So what we really, really recommend is everything that you put in Azure must be vetted truly, because if you think about it, anything that you put in unoptimized is going to incur unnecessary costs and is going to go over the same route of that waste producing scenario that we talked about. So we recommend that if you're going to put in a brand new workload in Azure, do your due diligence and make sure that you are doing this in the most optimized fashion. And to do that, you basically want to first figure out, is this the optimal way of onboarding a workload? So before you onboard a workload into Azure, you want to really, really leverage this decision tree that we have kind of created as a guidance to you. Which kind of, you know, takes you down the path of optimal workload being introduced into Azure from the get-go, and then you don't do the catch-up from behind type of activity, right? Yep. So this decision tree, let me walk you through it. This is something that you should incorporate in your onboarding and, you know, intake form, if you will. Because this will ensure that a right workload is getting into the right services. And not only that, it's going in the Azure platform as optimized as you possibly can do. Okay. So would you be interested in looking at this?
Yeah. Let's, I mean, it looks like a lot of stuff. Let's walk through the tree and see how hard it is.
Oh, it is going to be so much fun, David. You'll really appreciate this.
Okay.
So let's say we're sitting on a decision table today and we're deciding we have five of the new workloads that we really need to start putting into Azure. So how do we decide what is the right service to put this workload into? The way you do is we're going to start at the beginning and we're going to kind of, you know, think about this for a minute. Is this workload something that is pre-existing in my environment right now on premises and I'm moving it to Azure, or is this something brand new? We are developing this and we want to introduce this to Azure and do it natively in an Azure platform fashion, right? So in that sense, your decision is going to fork right from here. Is it a migration of existing stuff or is it building new? So okay. Let's take the path of, let's say it's existing and we're going to migrate it. Okay. So in that case, we're going to go to the left side of the decision tree and we're going to say, okay, migrate it is. Now, if I'm migrating, I have again a fork. Am I doing a lift and shift? Is this something really, really critical I need to put in first and then go and catch up. In most cases, we do not recommend that you do, you know, catch up behind. If you have the time, if you're planning, plan it right, right? So basically you say lift or shift or cloud optimize. So let's say we're in a hurry and we're gonna go and say lift and shift. Okay, lift and shift it is. Then can it be containerized? Because once you containerize a workload, you have options to then maximize it for its use. So if you don't containerize and you go IaaS level, then you have you know, a little bit more catching up to do, if you will, after the fact. So let's say, let's assume that you're gonna say, no, we don't wanna containerize right now. Okay, fair enough. Then let's think about this a little bit further up. If I don't containerize it, then I still have to look out for how can I still be optimized and not do the catch up and, you know, after deploying it, find out that I'm spending way too much. We have to decide what is the right platform for this particular workload. Because we decided not to containerize it, now we have to identify, is this workload a ASP.NET? Is it Node.js? Is it a web API? What is it exactly? And once you understand the you know, specific of this workload, then you can decide, okay, if it is mostly, you know, app-related API management or, you know, making API calls, then you want to do go with the app services. However, if it's not anything of this nature, if it's not as, you know, ASP.NET or Node.js or a web-based application, it is something really legacy and you really have no option, then your best bet is to go to the virtual machine, which is really bringing back to infrastructure as a service module that we offer. That service model is basically lifting your virtual machine off of on-premises, finding the comparable virtual machine that will fit your workload into Azure, and then just migrating it that way. Okay, so that's the decision tree. You know, we really encourage all our customers to start thinking in this fashion ahead of time.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. What do I do as part of the onboarding you're talking about to make sure that I am staying within the amount of money I was expecting to spend?
Yeah, very legit concern. So once you've decided that this is a workload, specific workload that needs to go into Azure, and you've decided it's going to be IaaS, I'm going to bring a, you know, Apple to Apple. I'm going to bring the same virtual machine over to Azure in the IaaS platform. Then you really want to start looking at it holistically in a cost fashion, cost-centric, you know, lens. Most of the customers that we have seen and visited, you know, are really catching up, doing the catching up scenario that we talked about over and over again. But basically our recommendation is that set a target for any given workload. Mm-hmm. Azure cost management tools and in the portal, we have really created this awesome, you know, facility within the portal to go and set up your targets automatically. So I could literally have in this, let me bring you to the slide that I wanted to share with you and show you a sample of what Azure targets can do for you. In this scenario, the company that we work with had their costs divided by departments or cost centers, if you will. What then was, you know, we recommended to them that, okay, you have your subscriptions and your management of subscription and governance broken down by the teams or the groups. You know, the ideal way to cover this is set a target, a monthly target or a quarterly target, depending on the cadence your business requires, and put a target amount per department. And then observe how they perform against the target. So you could also, within Azure Portal or through the APIs, you can still create these targets. And at the end of the targeted period, so in this example, it's about 5 months, you know, and the target was 70,000 for apps and engineering department. And the variance at the end was they went over $22,000. At the same time, we had HR with the budget of $500, and this was per month, and they actually went under. So, you know, this is basically representing how the target can really, really make you conscious of what you're spending and accountable for what you're spending. So in this case, you know, we found out that apps and engineering went over, and we know that HR came in under. So setting the target really, really kind of gives you a ballpark of where the cost is going, who's going over their budgets and targets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I'm totally getting it.
Add a little bit, David, how you can also additionally use these targets to really, you know, hone in into your staff that how important it is. So let me bring you back to my another slide that I want to share with you. This is also based off of our customer engagement. What I'm showing you here is on the left side of this slide. This left chart is basically each group and teams that were represented in the earlier target slide and their monthly target that was you know, given per department. But if you come by here onto the right side, this that tabular graph here is basically saying the same amount that we looked at, a slight different variance here though, because we picked a different month. However, the point is you want to focus on the variance, and then any department that came through, you know, went over, have them do a, you know, live site review and talk about, okay, how did HR department came under? What were their methods? What did they do that made that possible? And then have that learning lesson across all of your group teams, all the teams, all the cost centers, and that way you can celebrate the success and you know, say, okay, we did fantastic. Let's learn from this particular example. Does that help, David?
Yeah, that makes total sense. Is there anything I can do even before I put stuff in Azure to get a sense of how much money I'm going to spend?
Absolutely, David. In addition to all the, you know, decision tree, setting up targets, budgets, forecasting, you could also use what we call a Azure Migrate tool. It basically is an assessment, pre-assessment, if you will, of your workload as it is currently on your on-premises. So in the earlier scenario, we talked about lift and shifting, and then we decided we're going to go with the IaaS platform for this specific workload. Now, if I'm a customer and I want to know what is it going to cost me to have this specific workload go into Azure before I move it, you want to use Azure Migrate tool, which has, let me share that with you, what it's going to look like once it has run. So the screen capture that you're seeing is basically a output from an estimation of virtual machines that I believe will be migrated as a part of lift and shift into Azure. So this tool within Azure Migrate is really an assessment tool. It gives you exactly as you, if you can, you know, look at this output here, it does a handful of things for us. first of all, it's going to tell you if your machine, your workload is Azure ready, as you've described it, because there are prerequisites that you have to fill in before you come to this point. And then the tool is a wizard-driven tool. So basically you fill out, you say, okay, here's my workload. I have two web servers. I have one middle tier server and I have two databases, so say for example. So every information that you input into this tool, it will go out and you know, calculate the like for like cost for a virtual machine in the IaaS platform in Azure. So in this example, it tells me, you know, I am ready. The assessment that I've done for the tool is it's Azure ready. Then it breaks down into two different pie charts here. One is for my estimated monthly cost for the virtual machine. And then the other one is for storage. So it will tell me exactly, well, not exactly, but estimated, and it's close enough usually to say compute is $193 for this particular SKU, and storage is $32 for this particular workload. Now, having said that, keep in mind, you know, if you are going to take the benefit of reserve instances, these numbers will still go down, further go down. So keep that in back of your mind that we're always going to tie back to saving by utilizing the reserve instances.
Cool. Okay. So you've been really generous with your time, and I'm aware that we're coming to the end. We have maybe like a couple of minutes left tops to talk. I just would love to go back to my original problem where I with my original architecture and just see in a minute or less what you see when you look at it from a cost optimization perspective, what I could be working on. Do you mind if we pull that up again?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. So, David, I looked at it and, you know, you have the optimal, you know, widely used architectural design here where you have your, you know, geo redundancy, if you will, in the Azure West and Azure East, and then you're connecting them, you know, you're connecting them through the VNet to VNet connection over your VPN. Now, one of the things that jumps right at me, just looking at it, is the section that I just highlighted here in the red. You have a workload that specifically uses a SQL database. You know, I would immediately think, okay, we're talking strategically, we're talking optimization, we're talking modernization. So can this SQL servers be manage instances instead. So going up the stack, which is really moving into the PaaS layer, you know, in some cases it is going to be most prudent use of the PaaS services, and it can save you money specifically in this SQL area, because in SQL, we also have introduced a whole lot of new features like, you know, pay for what you use. If you're not using, you're not doing consistent queries and et cetera with SQL, and it's just storage, then just pay for the storage. Those options are pre-configured for you, or you can configure them as you start using the PaaS services. So that is what I would, you know, my immediate, you know, recommendation to you without really, you know, drilling too much down into this architecture.
That's a really good catch, and I appreciate you doing it. I don't want to take up any more of your time. So thank you very much for talking to me. And I think it's probably time for me to return to host mode. Okay, and we're back. Well, it was really great to have a chance to talk to Nuja and see what she would tell a customer. And so I'm hoping you enjoyed this session and the continuation, and you have some more information, some tools to be able to do better cost optimization around Azure. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you a little bit later on. Join us in other videos. See you soon.